You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practice Show. My name is Kirk Barron, and I'm the host here. I don't know why, but like we're having fun, and today you're going to see I have got the Director of Operations, and she is an incredibly brilliant person on my team, Chris, and you're going to see she's the person that keeps me organized, or one of them, like in this crazy world that we have, and we're going to be talking about issues, lists, and action items list and why you have to have both and why they're different in a dental office so that you can keep your team meetings moving in the right direction. Because you know how this works. You try to do a team meeting and you're like, I just feel like we're recycling garbage over and over again. And you don't even want to go to the meetings after a certain point. And so we're going to show you why you can't do that anymore and how the heck to get out of that. And it's a really important thing to understand as a dentist. Now, I'll always say this before we get started. Thank you guys for showing up. We have one goal here. It's to make you better because we believe when you create a better practice, you can have a better life. We're coaches here. We coach dentists on how to create a better practice and a better life. And speaking of coaches, I'm going to introduce you to an amazing coach. Her name is Christine Byrne. Chris, thanks for being on.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here again.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here again. What are we doing today, right? That's one of your requests. No, Chris and
always one of my questions.
Always one of your questions. And you guys will see this. Like I'm one of the idea people here. And so Chris is the person that gets things done, keeps us on the rails, keeps us focused. Chris runs some of the best meetings I've ever been a part of, ever in the history of anything ever. And so we're going to give you a little secret glimpse on how we do it and how we coach other dentists to do it. But Chris, I always like people to have a little background on who they're listening to. So who is Christina Byrne? Who are you?
So, gosh, well, you said Director of Operations at ACT, also a lead practice coach. I've been here 7.5 years, going to be 8 years in August. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
My background is in dentistry. I started in dentistry in 1985. I've sat in every seat. I am also a hygienist, so I've done that job too. I worked clinically for about 10 years or so before I got out of hygiene and worked on this side of the dental practice. So it's super great for me. I really love it. I love dentistry. It's just such a great profession where you can have instant gratification of changing somebody's life. I mean, it's just incredible. And I love it. I just love it.
Yeah. Well, we love you and love having you here. So you're going to see you know, one of the secrets is just surround yourself with great people and get out of their way. And I often do that as best I can with Chris. And so let's talk about the big why, the death of, you know, you've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing this for a long time, like death by meeting or meetings have not been given a great name in dentistry. And so why is that the case? And then why is this so important? What we're going to be talking about today.
Right. So for me, what I think I understand is that meetings tend to be just kind of rehashing the same old stuff over and over again, and nothing ever gets finished. And I'm sure anybody who's listening could relate to being in a meeting, kind of twiddling your thumbs, hearing people talk about the same thing over and over again, knowing that, you know, we're going to come back here and sit down in a month and talk about the same stuff because we don't keep people accountable to the things that we agree to, or we're just having a meeting for having a meeting's sake. And, you know, meetings do increase communication, but that communication is really important, and the intentional piece of communication is really important. So one of the things that we try to do here is to always have a plan in place before we have our meetings, right? Kirk, that's something that you've been wanting for such a long time. And we try to say, okay, we're going to have an agenda for this meeting. And if we get through this agenda, sometimes we even end our meetings early, which is really awesome.
Oh, it's not really awesome. It's the greatest, awesomest thing ever. So, Chris, can I just piggyback on that? Because you, again, like the agenda, you mentioned a magic thing. Like, I don't know who said this. I have a friend who said it, but I've also heard other people say it. No agenda, no attenda, which means like we've got to have a plan for how we talk about things on a regular basis. And you do an amazing job with that. Even when previously with our inner circle meetings, I often refer to those as some of the best meetings ever, because we would get an agenda ahead of time. And Chris would keep us focused, because while we're talking about barbecue and the football game yesterday and how, you know, it's going to be snowing sideways today, you're like, okay, listen, focus. Guys, okay, listen, we got six things to cover. We're going to create some action items. We've got some issues that we have to figure out. And there have been many times where at 17 minutes when we budgeted an hour, you're like, meeting over. I'm like, what do you mean it's over? Like, we have an hour. And you're like, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of time back. And I'm like, thank you, God. And then we go off and do our thing. But you do have to have an agenda before the meeting. And you and I went to a strategic coach together. And Dan Sullivan, who runs Strategic Coach, used to employ this. Now, we're going to give you a little bit of the same thing if you're listening today. We're going to give you some structure. But he used to say to his team members at Strategic Coach, they would have to fill out an impact filter. And I was like, what's that? He's like, they have to fill out an impact filter to schedule the meeting. I'm like, to schedule the meeting? He said, yes, because if they can't think through it, then all of us are disrespecting each one of our time. Is that kind of what you're talking about here in this situation, Chris?
Yes, exactly. You know, our time is so valuable. You say it all the time. Time is the new rich. And if we can say what we need to say and accomplish what we need to accomplish in half the time, it just makes everybody's lives better. And so, you know, we often, when we're starting with a new client, we present the idea that they need to have weekly team meetings, and immediately they're like, oh my gosh, there's no way we're going to do that, because their limiting belief is filtered by or colored by the way that they had their meetings before, which were non-productive. Right. But we have such a good agenda and such a great meeting pulse that there's just no way that you're not going to accomplish things. And, you know, and I like to have fun at meetings, and I like to talk about barbecue and football too. And there's actually time for that in the agenda. That's kind of how we start all of our meetings, is with, you know, let's talk about a little celebration or a segue about what did you do this weekend? And, you know, because it's not all cold and it's not all, you know, by the book. We do have to get to know each other too. So right. We do need space for that. And there is budgeted time in the agenda for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if you're ready to turn off the podcast already because you're like, all right, we don't need meetings. I got to just work. I'm tired of meetings. Like, stay on, please. Don't quit yet, because I am like you, if not worse than you. I have hosted and been part of the worst team meetings that have ever been conducted in business history ever. And now I realize I was a huge part of the problem, if not the biggest part of the problem, because we didn't go into it with an agenda or a healthy way to consider some of these things. You have to land the airplane and work on it as a team on the ground. This is one of the strangest times we've ever seen in dentistry. And everybody we talk to every single day is always peppered with this question: how do I find even great people? Like, it's such a hard climate. And when I do find people, I feel like it's not healthy and all of these things. You guys, if you're a dentist, you know this. You got to create a great team, because when you create a great team, they can do things you can't do. And a good piece of this is your communication. And we're going to give you some thoughts and some structures. One of them is you got to value it yourself. You got to value the time. And I get it. I've been there. where I'm like, I don't want to meet with anybody. This is going to be a mess. You know what I mean? All we do is talk about the same stuff. And then secondly, when you can get out of that mud and you can say, wow, I'm actually looking at this. We're getting things done from week to week. It doesn't have to be perfect. Chris, there are meetings where we have and we only get one or two things done. And that's a great week. Sometimes sure. You get more than that. But talk about like the components of this. And if I'm listening as a dentist, like how would I even unpackage this a little bit?
Right. So in our system, we talk about scheduling a two-hour block once a week for your team meeting. Now, you can use some of that time for your huddle. So, you know, think that the minimum would be an hour and 45 minutes to accomplish all the things that need to be accomplished in a week, so that you can make sure that all the goals that you set for yourself are going to be achieved.
Right.
So we look at the team meeting as a time for people to get together, to connect, to really sit down and work on the practice, on the things that show up, that are priorities that we need to make sure we have a full functioning practice and that we're moving forward. You know, progress is the name of the game. If you're staying still, then you're losing.
Yeah.
So you need to be progressing every single year. And one of the things I think too, Kirk, is that oftentimes doctors don't lean into their team for this. And
right.
So they think they have to shoulder this burden all by themselves. But the beauty of our meeting pulse is that there's not really a leader. I mean, you want to have somebody who can help direct the, you know, which section of the meeting we're going to go to next, but the doctor doesn't really have to lead the meeting every single week. And
right.
So that becomes really great for them. It's two things. Number one, they don't have to stress about it and think about what are we going to talk about? How am I going to get this done? And then the other thing is that the team feels really empowered and they have the opportunity to be leaders in the practice themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're hitting the nail on the head here and some big things. Because you guys, if you're listening, same thing with me. I don't want to show up and have to write everything and guide the meeting. Even in my meetings, I can just show up. We covered this. It's an agendaless meeting. We'll talk a little bit about that. But like we're talking about the same things over and over in a good way every single week where we pick a few priorities. Every single quarter, every human being can get their brain around doing something really well for 13 weeks. And if you have a team of 13 people or a team of 130 people, it doesn't matter. A few priorities where everybody's working together is huge. And then, Chris, you and I were talking before we hit the go button. One of the challenges, if you're a client or a part of the ACT community, you know we're already making you do this, is the issues and action items list. Can you talk about why? First of all, what is an issues list? And what's an action items list? Why are they different? And then we'll unpackage that even more.
Okay. So the issues list it's a list of things that have come up either throughout the week or throughout the month that need to be discussed. There, it's not simply a task. It's something that's happened that we need to get the weigh-in and the buy-in from everybody on the team to move forward. So we call it IDS. And basically, you identify what the problem is, you discuss the problem, and then you solve the problem.
Yep.
And oftentimes what happens is several action items will come out of the solving of that problem. And so often what happens is we get confused and we'll say, oh, you know, we move the x-ray unit and there's a hole in the wall now. And then that becomes an issue. But that's not really an issue, right?
Right.
That's basically, we need to make an action item for, you know, for Susie to call and get somebody to come in and fix this wall and paint it. So I think that what I have learned in the last couple of weeks of talking to clients is that they're putting action items on the issues list.
Right.
So you think about it in terms of an issue is something that we don't know how we're going to accomplish this yet. We have to talk about it and then action items will come out of the issues list.
Yeah.
And we strategically place that discussion toward the end of your team meeting time because, you know, we all know it and it happens to us sometimes. In fact, Kirk, yesterday it was funny because you weren't on our traction meeting and it happened to us.
Oh, no.
We went right to the the issues list. And it was Dina had called out Barrett to say, wait a minute, I thought we were going to go through our reporting. And we were like, oh, yes, yes, that's right.
Yeah.
But just like you guys, we have the same thing happen to us where we think, oh, my gosh, this is the most important thing. We have to talk about this right away. And then your entire meeting time has been co-opted by the issues affecting your practice, and we don't get to talk about the things that are going to actually move you in a forward direction.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And so let's go back and just review if you're following along at home. You know, we got all of this ideology. We didn't make this up. I mean, this came straight from a book called Traction by Gino Wickman, and he characterized. Now, there's a lot of things in there. You can pick and choose how you want to apply it to your practice. But when I read that, I want you guys to know it's one of the few books I've ever read, and Chris can attest to this, that we're trying something and doing his philosophy, and it works. It really does work. And it's stuck. And so, again, issues are things that come up. They're real problems that we have to solve. And they're not necessarily tasks, things that we just have to get done. And they can also be new ideas that you want to implement, and we can push them further down. Or they could be KPIs or priorities that aren't being accomplished. From that, we can say, okay, look, we got to move that to the issues list because, again, Chris, what you said is a problem to be solved. And I think, Chris, what you said is key because I'm the number one. I used to go right to a problem. We talk about the problem. We never solve the problem. Then I get fueled up about the problem, and that would completely take over the entire meeting. That's why issues lists have to be adjusted or addressed later. And from the issues list, you have what are called tasks or action items. We like to call them action items because the name of our company is called ACT, and we like people to take action. So give me some thought process. So, one more thing I think it's really important is that when you and your team sit down, whether it be with your leadership team or with your actual entire team, you have to decide which issue is most important because not all issues are the same. You might be thinking, oh, this issue is really important, but there's like three more that are more important than that. Is that right, Chris? How you see it?
Yes. Yes, it is. And in fact, in our own situation, because we all work remotely, we put our issues as our leadership team in a Trello board. And so we can move those cards around and put the thing that we feel is most important, you know, where we want it to be. But as a team, what you need to decide is if you've got six or seven things that have showed up on the issues list, deciding as a team, if we could only attack three of these things today, what would those three things be? Because honestly, you're not going to be able to address all of them. So looking at what are the most important things to you as a team, it is really valuable. And then you are putting your best energy to those things that you know you can affect the direction of the practice with.
Yeah.
One more thing I wanted to go back to, and you mentioned it about the KPIs, Kirk. So in our meeting pulse, and we have so many resources in ACTU for people if they're part of ACTU, if they're ACTU members or members of our community, you'll see these resources where it's a step-by-step of what your meeting pulse looks like. And so prior to discussing the issues, you're going through your KPIs or your key performance indicators, which are telling us how we're doing with our priorities and whatever the things that are most important to us. So if one of our priorities is the new patient process, we're going to check new patients and we're going to track that, how many new patients came in. So for example, if our goal is 5 new patients a week and we're noticing, you know, it's the third week where we're not hitting our goal, that is an issue. Yep. So that immediately gets put to the issues list so that we can talk about it at a later time during this team meeting. And then we come up with ways to solve that. So then we get the buy-in from our team. Everybody gets a chance to talk about how we can bring new patients into the practice. And then ultimately those become action items. So one thing you might say is let's have a really good, let's start looking at our A patients and asking them for referrals, yeah. Right? So then that becomes an action item that the team is going to be responsible for asking 2 to 3 new patients or 2 to 3 patients for new patient referrals. And then what you're going to find is in the next couple weeks, your new patient numbers are going to go up because now we've added some intention to one of these things that are going to help us to move the practice forward and accomplish our goals.
Yeah. Amen, sister. I want to go back to a couple of things you said that are really important. So remember, what you're creating here is a situation where we're going to be reporting, not solving. So the front half of the meeting, or even the first third of the meeting, is just reporting. It's quick, boom, 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 boom. And you've got to have a champion, somebody that's responsible for the numbers. Now, it's not about money. It's about accountability, which requires some type of accounting. Are we on track, off track? Okay, real quick. That way we can get through everyone feeling good. And it really should be organized in colors. Colors, Patrick Lencioni said it, human beings understand colors better than anything. I like red and green. You can use red, green, and yellow. Doesn't matter. But like, I can look at a number and know red is not good. If red is not good, you're reporting on it. We're not solving it. And listen, we get into that thing too, where we started solving. Somebody's got to hold us accountable to the whole vision for the meeting. Nope, we moved to the issues list. Again, what Chris said is we've got to prioritize it. And then action items. One more thing I might just add is we're going to put a name to each one of these things because we're going to solve it on the spot. Let me say that again. We're going to solve it right now. And then we're going to put names on it. And your job is to get that done before we meet next time. So tell us about how that works. So you're going to call out me out and you're going to go, Kirk, you're going to do step two. And I go, got it. And then you're going to expect what by next meeting?
So by next meeting, when I review the action item list and I say, Kirk, did you get that done? You're either going to say, yep, it's done, or nope, I didn't get it done. And so you have to announce that to the whole team that you didn't do the action item that you were responsible for. So it stays on the list and we mark it no. Yeah. You did not do what you're supposed to do. Yeah. And then if it stays on there for the next week, then we have a conversation about it.
Yeah. And so you guys, as leaders, you know, one of the things that it's very, it's nerve-wracking. I'll tell you, because the person that screws it up most is me, you know, so it can happen 1 week. And so please don't say, this is not like an absolute. This is designed to assist, not insist. But at the same token, if I'm been told or I've said I will do something and now we're 3 weeks into it, you guys got to remember, the whole team is looking at you like, hey, we're going to do this whole new thing, but you're not doing any part of this. And I'll also say in the same breath, I want to be careful as a leader not to take on everything just because I can do it.
Yeah.
Because you know what happens there. I'm going to overfunction, which naturally is going to teach everybody to underfunction. And Chris, you coach a lot of teams on that. How do you see this play out with doctors and teams?
It's a difficult conversation because a lot of our doctors are used to doing this on their own. And so, you know, I just had this conversation last week where one of our docs, he's been doing the meeting himself because it's just not the way it hadn't been the way he wanted it to be. And so, you know, I coached him to let other team members know, like, this is the way we're going to run this meeting. So I'm going to do it for a few more weeks, but I want you to watch me and I want you to take notice of how I'm running this because I don't want to do it forever. And so I think it's a great way to be able to, you know, hold up the fact that you want it done a certain way. And that's one of the best gifts as a leader that you can give your team is to tell them, this is what I want. Right. And this is how I want you to do it. Because some people just, you know, they have their own ideas. And if they want to see your vision of the practice or the way that you want the meeting to go, you have to tell them.
Right.
You know, they're not going to just get it. They're not going to guess it. And we don't want people to guess it.
No.
You know, you can't be upset if somebody's not doing what you want them to do if you haven't told them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's really important to have, first of all, an agenda. You've got to have these team meetings in place where you feel like you're making progress. You got to make them simple enough that anyone at any skill level could say to themselves after 3 weeks of sitting in a meeting, wow, I know how this works. It's got to entail a scoreboard mentality. Heck, eighth grade boys can figure out what's going on if they can look at a scoreboard at a baseball game. And, you know, your team members are smart too. So dentistry is just a lot of processes. There are things that are going to come up, and your greatest joy is going to be bringing a group of people together, working on things that are truly for the benefit of the practice. And this becomes a great methodology. Where do we, you know, other than what we've talked about, any other pieces, Chris, that people get wrong on the issues or action items list that just stick out?
I would say, you know, I think over just like bombarding everything into an issue list, right? One thing I helped a team with a couple of months ago was, you know, think about it. If it's something that is pertaining to a system that we already have in place or an agreement that we've already made, to me, that's not an issue because it's not something that needs to be identified or discussed or solved. Right. That's merely a conversation that we have to have with someone that they're not following the system or that the system's not working or the agreement that we made is not being handled properly. So I would caution people against those kind of things. Like that's basically what I would consider a stuck. Like I'm stuck because this is what our system says. This is what we agreed to and it's not happening. So again, I see sometimes that showing up on the issues lists. And I would say that's more of a one-on-one conversation. You know, we've agreed to this. Let's talk about why it's not happening. How can I help you so that it does, so that we can make it happen? We spent a lot of time to work on these agreements. So let's not just throw them out.
Yeah, that's brilliant because I was going to piggyback on that too, because my first inclination when I had an issues list was just to flood it with all my stuff that I wanted to talk to. And then I realized... through the help of great people like Chris and a little help of self-awareness of like, this isn't working, you know, type of a thing, is that not all of these things need to be flooded to the team. And so there are some things. So two pieces to what you said, Chris, is there are going to be things that come up right away. It's good to solve conflicts that you don't need to involve the whole team with right away. I'm going to go to the person. I'm going to bring this up right away. And we're going to handle this now because the more I let this go on, it's going to be a challenge. And if I bring this to a team meeting of 20 people, I'm just bringing a little bit more fuel to the fire in some cases. So that's one piece. The other piece too, and Chris, how we do it in our meeting, you guys don't have to do it this way, but you know, we have a leadership team, we call it a traction team. The traction team has their own issues list that isn't necessarily everyone else's issues list, because there are issues, and you're gonna find this as a dentist, once you get to about 12, you're gonna need some companions, and they're part of your leadership team that you can talk about the big issues before we go to the rest of the team. And sometimes they're delicate issues. Sometimes they're big decisions issues, but the same process applies. We're going to figure this out. Then we're going to be aligned. We don't have to agree. Can you talk about that, Chris? Like consensus is deadly. I learned that the hard way. We don't need everyone to agree. We do have to be aligned, and then we can collaborate. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Sure. I mean, if you're trying to get everybody's approval, especially if you have a team of, you know, more than 12, you're never going to get 12 people to agree on anything. Right. Ultimately, we have to look at, you know, what are our core values? Where are we going? What are our priorities? So understanding that we might not all agree, but this goes back to Patrick Lencioni again, that if we get weigh-in, we'll get buy-in, regardless of whether or not my idea was chosen. But at least if I get a chance to voice it and say, this is what I think we should do. I mean, the rest of the traction team might say, no, this is what we're going to do. That's fine. I got to say my piece and then I can say I am 100% aligned and behind moving in this direction.
Yeah.
The other piece I will bring, even with doctors with small teams where they might not have a leadership team in place, I'm part of their leadership team, right? So if you have a coach, that coach is part of your leadership team. So there are times and there are issues that I talk to with my clients that they clear through me first, or they run it by me first, and we talk about it so that they can bring it to the team instead of just like bombarding the team with a whole bunch of stuff that they've been thinking about. So I think that's an important piece to remember, that even if you have a smaller practice, you can lean on your coach. Your coach is going to be part of your leadership team.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because that is absolutely true. Listen, if you're a dentist and you're trying to run your practice by yourself because you just want to, don't, like just don't. You know, You have to have an advisor. You got to have a coach, somebody that can hold you accountable. And, you know, this year we're actually going to do a board of advisors that are going to, we have to answer to, which kind of freaks me out a little bit. But like Chris is exactly right. So if you have a small team, you're like, I don't know. No, that's the cool part. You can go to a coach. Your coach is on your board. Your coach is your coach. Your coach is part of your leadership. And they'll go, don't do that. That's dumb. Because we've seen it all on all levels. If you don't have a coach, now it doesn't have to be us. I'm very biased. I mean, I think we're an amazing coach. We are the best, but if you don't have a coach, like think about that. You're a golfer and you're like, I don't need a coach. That's negligent or ignorant. You know what I mean? Like, don't do it. Like there's too many moving pieces to a business and you got to be working with human beings and patients all day long. You don't have the time to figure all this out. Get some help and put somebody on your board of advisors, your leadership team, which would be a great coach because they can say something in one sentence and go, oh my gosh, you just saved me hours and hours and hours of time. And so that's really critical. And the other thing I'll just say about the whole consensus thing, you guys know this. I have six people in my family. I can't even go, hey, where do you guys want to go to dinner? Because two of them are like, I hate Mexican food. Ah, like, I love Mexican food. I could eat Mexican food four times a week. I don't know if that's good, but you can't, you and whoever else is leading the practice have to do what Chris said. You've got to look at your core values, agree on this. We might not completely agree, but we're aligned on where we're going. We're going to do this for the benefit of the practice. And we're going to pulse quarterly, have a few priorities, and there are going to be issues that come up, things that are problems that we have to solve. We're going to prioritize these problems. Of the problems or issues, we're going to solve them right now, and then action items will be born of them. And I'll just tell you personally, I love watching our board when those things fall off, when there's two or three fall off. And Chris, you heard me say this a couple of weeks ago. I was complaining to Barrett on a Monday morning. I'm like, dude, I don't have anything to like, I usually come in all fired up. Like we got to do, I'm like, I got nothing for you. And I'm like, am I losing my edge or is there like, and he's like, maybe that's the way it should be. I don't know. So we're humans just like you trying to figure this out. But I do know one thing, when we can have a predictable, regular pulse and we've got this thing called an issues list and an action items list, we know the difference and they're working for us. They're less of a, you know what show that I used to conduct in the past, which was a compilation of my feelings for the day. And I was going to bless my team with all these feelings. We're not going to go back to those days, Chris, but like, I don't know.
I won't let you.
Yeah. When you give people some structure around you and they're the greatest people ever to keep you, just try to support them and be consistent, you know? So any last thoughts you have on this, Chris, as far as team meetings?
Yeah. I think the one thing I would say is like, we use this phrase all the time at ACT. Like you, if you're listening to this and you're saying, oh, meetings suck, they're terrible, I hate team meetings, that's a limiting belief, right? So we use that all the time. Don't let your limiting beliefs get in the way of your future progress. So think about what we've said today and say, you know, I know that my team meetings in the past have been exhausted and probably because you go right to issues, right? So really consider the way that we have kind of talked about how to identify your reporting, identify issues, deal with them after you've worked on the practice and put agreements in place. And I think you're going to find that your meetings are going to be more energizing. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be exhausting. They're going to be energizing. You're going to actually get stuff done. It's not going to be recycling the same old stuff over and over again. And then let us know how it goes.
Yeah, I actually wrote down, I have never heard you say this, and I wrote it down like I'm totally stealing this from you. Don't let your limiting beliefs get in the way of your future progress. Bam, that's it. And let me just say this to you as a dentist, if you're listening, like you've always dreamed of a day where you just show up to a meeting and be the good person. Do you know what I mean? Like the fun person and the supportive person. And now with what we're suggesting today, you can. You know, it takes a while, don't get me wrong, and you need the help of a good coach and a good, you know, new agenda, you know, a repeatable process. But I promise you, trust me, coming from me, like of all people, meetings can be fun again in a way that they don't suck. So It's good stuff. We should probably label this podcast A Way That Meetings Won't Suck. Nah, I don't know.
Yeah. But,
I don't know. Well, Chris, thank you so much. If I'm a dentist listening, like, how the heck do I learn more about ACT Dental? What do you do? Hey, and Chris, let me just challenge. What the heck are you going to teach me that I already know? Like, come on. I go to a lot of seminars. Like, what are you going to really teach me about?
Well, I usually say, I'm not going to teach you anything about clinical dentistry. You're the doctor. You take a lot of CE in that. I'd be curious to know, of the doctors listening, what percentage of CE they actually take in business management or, you know, practice administration. So think of it as your coach is going to help you get where you want to go. We focus our clients on putting a great culture in place and putting a great team in place and understanding what their core values are so that they can really enjoy the dentistry part of it. I would bet that most of the doctors listening will say that the least enjoyable part of their day is managing their team or leading their team. And that's what we can help you with.
Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant. And you get a sample of what happens behind the curtain, actually, or in front of the curtain with Chris here. And I love the, you know, Brene Brown quote that Jenny threw into one of our meetings. And I'm a huge Brene Brown fan. And she said, you don't have to do this alone. You weren't meant to. So it's too hard running a practice. Get some help. So hope you guys enjoyed this. So Chris, stick around when we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for joining the Best Practices Show. Hey, if you enjoyed today, do us a favor. Hit the share button and leave us a review. Because you know what it allows us to do? Find other great people just like you. We love this stuff. We got a lot of young dentists listening now, some dental students, and I just reassure you guys, you're walking into the greatest profession ever. And if you need some additional help, check it out at actdental.com. You can join us at our study club, To the Top Study Club. It's full. You can't get it. Well, you have to get on the waiting list. But if you get in, you're going to love it. And you'll see quarter over quarter, we're going to constantly give you new tools, make you think better. We want you to go back to your families and your practices, being a better leader. You know, when you do these things and you can think better, you become a better leader. And I'll leave you with one last thought. When you create a better practice, it always leads to a better life. And we wish that for you. So until next time, we hope you guys enjoy your week and keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.